This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz. The following show discusses ideas and values that are solely those of the hosts. It includes regular mentions of conspiracy theories for which there is little or no credible evidence. We recommend listeners consult a range of credible sources and seek out the views of experts. The views expressed are the show hosts only and not those of Free FM.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Everything gonna be all right this morning.
Good morning, one and all, and this is From the Fringes, a program about alternative, provocative views. My name is Jack Geelan. So we've had this article, What Comes After the BSA is Gone? That's partly because Irony Alert, the BSA, takes the right to freedom of expression under the New Zealand Bill of Rights very seriously. The Media Council, not so much, at least. It barely mentions it, though. The media's right to freedom of expression is part of the statement of principles. Yeah, so you need to become a community hero standing against extremist nationalists. I'm a kaitiaki peacekeeper, the white light watchman for New Zealand. And I've brought the plastic devil's pitchfork along here today, which is quite a child's toy, actually. But I'm seeking to challenge Nationals' devilish policies like tax cuts for the rich, getting rid of the homeless, decimating the economy, amalgamated council mega wannabes. And, of course, I call these the Red Freedom Fighters in my Rainbow Ribbons program. They challenge social injustice, help others find freedom from oppression and persecution. These are new creation Gadites, spiritual Israelites, peace and justice activists with lion-hearted courage. Courageous, self-sacrificial spiritual martyrs, movers and shakers, pilgrims of the celestial city. Yes, so community heroes, we're against the right-wing gnats, the demographic squeeze, universities, labour and the rise of independence in New Zealand, the demographics of economics and political areas are colliding. Councils and political parties aren't being honest. Productivity is weakening with fewer workers, more dependence, slower growth, higher debt, declining social cohesion. So the nation appears to be in a bad way. And as we approach the election, more people need to wake up. You need to register to vote. So I'm going to be part of the Independent Collective. I'll be representing Hamilton West, exposing dark globalist agenda. Did Muldoon sell us off to Rockefeller and Kitchener in 1986? Controlled opposition, puppets of the New World Order. It very much sounds like conspiracy, but it's very real when you look at what's happening to the economy and you actually see the energy lockdown through Trump and what's going on there, the fuel crisis. What sort of world are we heading into? And what do you think of the collective that we're looking at the moment, the Independence Collective?
Well, first of all, Jack, that woolly hat you've got on, Matariki must be getting close. the collective, please define the word collective.
like people who are independent,
yep.
people who don't like what's going on with the elections and the control of the politicians and them taking us down the wrong road at the moment. And the voice of the people need to start coming together, thinking for themselves. We need to take our power back, and the power has to go back to the people, Rod.
Yeah, well, independence, if you look back even into the United States, the formation of parties and the corporate entities that go with that, and we've just become used to it, but technically Parliament's designed to have, in our case, 121 independent minds, and the way that Parliament works is that they make a vote on legislation. So we need to think about a Parliament that has 120 individuals that aren't governed by a party, if you like.
Yes, we have a couple of protests that are up ahead. One is the citizen-run movement plans fuel price protests, 12 cents a litre increase to fuel taxes, endorsed by Willis and Seymour. So these people are going to be protesting around the country on the 16th, which is Saturday, isn't it?
Well, obviously, Chatham Islands, they use 3.5 times more diesel out on the Chatham Islands, where I lived 1995, 1996. And so what they are finding is fuel insecurity. They have a wind farm that has come online, but think of the Chatham Islanders, 600 people out there, and they're paying 3 times the price of what we pay here in New Zealand for turning the light on and boiling the jug.
Right. My advice to those who die, declare the pennies on your eyes, because I'm a tax man. Yeah, I'm the tax man. Why are taxes so important? We pay for different projects in the community. We pay for the water, we pay for the roading, we pay rates. Where's all that money going to, though? Because we're going into debt, and will we be owned by overseas corporates? And this is what Hart is on about, isn't it?
Well, from a solar system jurisprudence perspective, imagine if 8 billion people had a progressive tax. So the first dollar you earned in a year is tax-free up to the millionth dollar, which is 100% taxed. And every dollar after that is 100% taxed. And there's a linear line. So basically you get to keep $500,000 if you're earning $1 million. That's the sort of changes the globe needs to peg back these explosions of billionaires, and now they're pushing into trillionaires, Jack.
Yeah, but doesn't it take guts for a person to stand as an independent, as part of the collective, a community hero? Because they have to challenge the status quo. They see everything that's wrong, but will they have the guts to stand up and speak the truth of what's really going on? A lot of people just, you know, they just vote, go along with the status quo, they go along with everything, and they're too scared to stand up. Right.
Well, if I was doing a maiden speech, Jack, I was going to suggest that the 7 Māori seats in the treaty partnership flip over to the other partner, and yeah. the 113 seats become the Māori seats, and then we apply the ACT Party's elimination of those 7 seats. So the 5 million people would be disenfranchised, losing their 7 seats. So that would be a maiden speech in my current thinking, which is legislation that could be put forward to the floor of Parliament.
Yeah, yeah. And having talked to Hart, who's the head of this movement, this collective movement, he said each person can come out with their own policies of what they see wrong. and what they're standing for in terms of the social environment, in terms of whether they promote the Treaty of Waitangi, what they're going to stand for. So you'll get divergent policies, won't you?
Well, when the Tops party leader, Wong, was there in her first Hamilton debut, I asked her, what are your 21 conscience
votes? You're not
votes?
Talking about Wing the Wong number.
No, that's her actual name. And she immediately looked over to her policy guru. And so with independence, they need to be able to string off 99 conscience votes.
What? I just,
well, of course, Jack, because the thing is, you have to look at, if you're a member of parliament, you're going to then become part of cabinet, if you're part of the government, and you're going to become a minister. And so every one of the independents standing, they need to know where they fit in the executive, if you understand where I'm saying. So it's not only just standing and being a junior, it's actually fully fledged. And the character of the person is what the people should be voting for. But here's the challenge. Imagine you're on Hamilton West and 15 people stand for independent.
Yeah.
That is very challenging. The old lady in an old folks home who's always voted one particular party, the nurse comes around and said, here's your voting paper, and she just ticks that box. So that's where the parties have momentum, but people are disenfranchised in the sense that parties are captured by lobbyists, and we're getting legislation which isn't homegrown from the population. We're getting multinationals from overseas wanting our water or set up data and our electricity.
Corporates will take it over.
Exactly, because they just have lobbyists that come in and legislation. I just heard that 60% of all of the conservation land is going to be put up for sale, Jack. Where did that come from? It wasn't something you or I suggested.
Right, it wasn't the people's voice. Us deciding. Corporate, some billionaire, some national.
If you've got $20 trillion of Crown Minerals and you're wanting to come in from overseas and get that, the easiest way is to go and purchase conservation land where all of those minerals sit and then move forward from there. So that's my point, Jack. Our $20 trillion of Crown Minerals is unallocated, 5% on land, 95% in the seabed. So this is why this election is such an important election.
And you're talking about the Chancellor with William of Orange, who goes according to the conscience and conscience vote. You know, conscience is very important, you know, morality, family, what is right, you know, in our communities, you know, sending this treaties on and not providing homes, that's wrong for... I'd have a conscience about that, you know.
Well, I did mention about the progressive taxation. So these are conscience votes. And and that's why you and I talking, and with heart, we need to be able to ask what people's conscience votes are, because that's what forms policy. And if they're going to be in the executive, in cabinet, we need to know beforehand. And so when I asked Wong, and she was unable to string them off, but I encouraged her to come up with, because at the end of the day, if you're Prime Minister and an independent, there's nothing stopping them becoming a first-time candidate and being the Prime Minister of the country.
Now, you've got here, choose community over corporate conformity, be local heroes, not amalgamated city wannabes, resist dehumanisation, protect families and future generations. You've heard about the new amalgamation idea of all the councils going in together as one, kind of like a super council, but that's going to take away the voice of the people, isn't it? The people in a particular area deciding what happens with water and sewage and...
Well, in the old days, if Tangata Whenua gifted a piece of land to build a school and everyone enjoyed that, and so what's happened now is our railways, our electricity, our telecom and now our water is being put into a body. Yep. Council's still the owner of the water, but because they're in debt and paying $100 million in Hamilton here in interest a year, they're going to say, well, why don't we sell our water to a bigger body and then we'll pay down our debt. So you can see how our assets, our income generating assets, are given away and then we become renters in our own country.
Now, people probably think, what's Jack Gielen doing with this balaclava on? Well, the Russian punk group Pussy Riot, they are feminists and they had pink balaclavas. Blood is Russian art. So I got the idea I'd better get my own balaclava with certain colours. I was thinking of black to begin with, but then I changed it to white, blue and red. So it's sort of representing the community. Promoting me as a community guardian. But I've got a pitchfork here, you know, the devil's fork.
With red, yes, and black handle.
And it's using
already been
it
used
to kind of outline what are the wrong policies of what's really going on. Yeah, you know.
Well, the pussy protest in Russia, protesters over there get 15 years in jail.
Yeah.
And you're really taking out your brightest and best, those that stand up first and say, hey, look, we need to think about these policies. And unfortunately, once you deaden the community down by locking them up. So that's why protest is such an important part of English common law, Jack.
Yes, well, if I get going, I'll be protesting outside the national office. And there's the PSA, they stand for People's Rights, Public Service People. Mm. And across the road are the Streeties. Mm. It's all, I'll have my megaphone there, but
is
I need...
Is this in Hamilton?
In Hamilton.
Okay. So, but also across the road is the Gun City, which I find quite interesting.
And so I'll be a community hero against right-wing Nats and exposing some of their, like, tax cuts for the rich... Getting rid of the homeless, move them on. So Shane Jones, what do they want to do with them?
So Jack,
drop them outside the city.
We just talked about we just talked about conscience votes. So let's put some legislation together today.
Yeah.
So from my perspective, I feel that a person should be able to hop on a bus and go to the end of the line in
yes.
Hamilton City, and there is a hot shower, a bed and a meal.
Yeah.
And so instead of congregating the homeless in Garden Place, there's 12 or 13 places at the end of each bus line that anyone can hop on and go if they need to shelter for the night. And that then tidies up the city.
Yeah.
And so they pay 10 cents to come back in the morning to go to the library and do their things.
What about the decimated economy? The jobs are not out there. People are on the dole
Under 25, 20% of the females are unemployed in New Zealand, 14% if you put young males, and 100,000 of young people aren't in study or education or work at the moment. So one of the challenges with the $25 an hour and the living wage, it's... You know, I'm not sure if you agree, but could we have 10 cents an hour? 15 seconds at the moment is what,
teaching
10
them
cents?
How to work, teaching them skills.
Well, if you've got $1 million, an old guy that has a big shed with all of the equipment, that young one at 14 going in there can learn for 3 years with all that $1 million equipment. And if he was only paid 10 cents an hour, he still lives at home with mum and dad, but he goes down and he's useful around the shop. And at the end of 3 years, then he's actually come up from 10 cents an hour to a realistic wage. But while he's learning, he's got all this capital and people training him. So we need to look at this $25 an hour minimum wage, because it's putting young people with no skills, making them unemployed structurally.
Now, we've got MPs not seeking security help. Poor engagement, a problem despite abuse and threats increasing, says parliamentary service. Well, why are the masses upset? It's obvious they have blocked their ears in the beehive. Are they really listening to us?
Well, if you go into a courthouse now, your bags get x-rayed. If you go into a WINS office, they've got guards all over the place, because these are the orifices of justice and money. And so obviously they're finding it difficult to walk in the people's shoes.
Now, here is what's happening over in Amsterdam. From sacred ground to smart grid, from Amsterdam's erased street culture to the rise of the smart city, a global system is clearing away spontaneity, memory and the sacred to build a world optimized for Control, a transformation of Amsterdam from the gritty countercultural epicenter of the 1970s and 80s to the polished, hyper-managed city of today is a case study in the tension between radical social experimentation and the pressures of global capitalism.
Well, John McDonald was all about getting the parking meters out there. So, you know, from my perspective, putting change in a parking meter is the right way to go rather than putting your digital number plate in. And we need to get back to using coins again. I'm a fan of going back to the ones, twos and 5 cent pieces. I'm a fan of deflation where they gain value rather than inflation. What do you think, Jack, as a conscience vote?
Yes, and providing solutions, which is basically about people-focused and solution focus.
So, conscience vote. So, if you had 120 MPs, obviously it's very difficult to work out who is going to be the government in that sense. But technically, what should happen is the 120 MPs move bills and then they get passed, and then that's handed to the executive to fulfill them. And so, things have got around the other way where our executive is extremely powerful. We don't have an upper house, there's no checks and balances, and we have these.
Massive swings.
Of course it's William of Orange.
Well, we should bring that back.
Well, the reason William of Orange was invited to come and head the state is Parliament sort of got off track after they cut a few king's heads off, James the First and James the Second, and then they realised that there is a place for Charles the Third as a constitutional monarchy.
Yeah, so they took away that higher council, didn't they?
Need the independent, and you need the independent at a sovereign level, but you also need the independent at a parliamentary. Did you know every MP can go into any prison and meet the 10,000 prisoners? That's one of the things an MP can do, is go and visit any prisoner in any incarcerated place in New Zealand.
Well, they need to, instead of providing a corporate entity which just throws people in prison and makes money out of it. And have you heard a lot of the police, there's been 100 police, more than that, that have gone over to Australia now because there's better conditions over there. So where's our police force that we were promised by National?
It's interesting. Jack, if you got a letter from a prisoner and you were an elected parliamentarian, would you go and visit that prisoner?
Yes.
Exactly.
Definitely. I'd go to all the prisons.
There you go then. So that's something you can bring up with Hart, that all independents pledge how many prisoners they're going to visit every year for their 3-year term, Jack.
Right. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, sowing in the morn time, sowing seeds of kindness, sowing in the noontide and the dewy, waiting for the harvest and the time of reaping. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves.
Now, I talked to Albert this morning. there's a surfing competition in Raglan on the 15th for 10 days, Jack. 5,000 people are out there. So if you want to go and recharge your battery, you can catch the bus. I think it's about $12 to get out to Raglan. So, Jack, you've got 10 days, and once you get out there, you can pitch your tent or stay the night and watch the surfing. So I just share that for Hamilton, because obviously from the fringes, I think it's sitting at the surf edge of the water is part of a fringe, isn't it, Jack?
That's right. So stock markets may crash. This is from a Christian prophet. Oil markets may roar. Divisions and schisms may roll. The politics of nations. But we have a job to do, bringing in the sheaves. So that's the Christian perspective of being a priest, a headship believer, and also a counterpart bride of Christ. But we need to bring in the sheaves.
But my question to you, do we bring them into the centre of the city, or do we bring them out to places like Raglan? I always joke, if you give a streetie a Rolls Royce, would they drive out to Raglan from Hamilton?
Right. So people will be wondering why I'm wearing this white, red and blue colours in my balaclava. It's all about me being a voice against corporate greed and social neglect. And we need community heroes against extremist nationalists. And I am planning a protest outside Poata's office. Okay. And because that's a key area, but I'll do it prime time and all the traffic is there, probably 5 o'clock.
We brought progressive taxation in, then instead of grandmothers teaching grandkids to read, we'll have the CEOs teaching kids to read instead, because the corporate greed comes from not having a progressive tax system all the way up to 100%, Jack.
Yeah, so I'm talking to someone about writing my new book called Black Velvet Transformation, Community Heroes in a Fractured Age, Stories of Courage and Belonging. So a Black Velvet Transformation is a journey through darkness, conflict and renewal in modern times. Through symbolic storytelling, spiritual reflection and ordinary human struggles, the book explores how wounded people can become guardians of compassion, courage and belonging. It's all about transforming fear into wisdom, division into neighbourliness and despair into living hope. So,
Velvet Jack, I was going to think of the Iron Fist, but with a velvet cover. No. So when you go to
Tamapotaka, the velvet glove. That's right. A politician.
Now
has
we
to
haven't
be like
talked
that.
About Tim McIndoe and the 14 elected members. So obviously these instructions to gather the sheaves.
Yeah.
So what they're doing by getting rid of the water systems, the opposite of gathering the sheaves, they're throwing them into the river to watch them wash away, and we're not using that energy to bake the bread, Jack. So what would you like to see Tim be up to now that he's got his 2-hour parking through his councillors? What's next on the agenda for you? What would you like Tim to do on your behalf?
I want a definite forensic audit, talking about the real debt and how we can actually get back to the voice of the people on all these issues, the cost of water, the cost of the sewage. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, technically, we've looked at that, Jack, in the last council meeting, which was chaired by one of the mayoral candidates that you stood with.
Yeah.
Sarah Thompson. And so technically people like Mish McDonald and Minty and Corrales, Rachel Corrales, they've put in some very good systems where they can't have budget overruns, 95 they talk about in 50%. So there's actually a good core group.
Andrew Bidder
yes.
knows heart. And
yes.
so next time he comes to town for the collective meeting, okay, we'll probably have 2 or 3 potential politicians there, okay, that Hart will be there and we want Bitter to be there and you and me and whoever's going to stand for Ham West and Ham East.
And the Māori seat as well. Where's the Minister of Local Government? Because there's a lot of power in the Minister, and I made the point the other day that I see a lot of the parties, the major parties, using councils as their slush fund to move forward and selling off things like electricity and water, but then it all ends up in the hands of those that know where it's going, which is in the major parties. So that's another reaction of having independence, is people feel powerless that their water's going and they never really voted for it. It's not like citizens are pushing to sell the water.
Right.
Because the debt was run up by how? And that's one of the forensic audits that will ask that question. In the last 7 chief executive officers, where did that debt come from? And a lot of it comes from professional sports teams and professional sports music, all of that sort of thing. People should be able to run those events without using public money, Jack.
So we're calling everyone in New Zealand become a community hero and stand against the city mayor's considering new move. We don't want to be amalgamated globalist mega wannabes.
Yeah, well,
but we need to have sort of accountability for transparency, honesty with the debt and where the money's going. Well, not just the corporates who will take over.
Well, they're flooding the community with 60% of the conservation estate. Then these amalgamations, what are they going to go to 12 regional councils, Jack? So there's so much being thrust on us, which if you concentrate things, it makes it easier to control. Whereas, so that's an interesting.
Thank you for listening to our show today.
Thanks, Jack.
From the Fringes. And sign up as a collective person.
Be on the electoral roll.
That's right. And
find out the character of your independent and ask
all
them.
Transform our society, becoming community heroes. Bye-bye for another week.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.